Well, I just finished my first week as senior program manager in the AppFabric development platform team at Microsoft. That's the team that creates Windows Workflow Foundation. And so I'm really excited to kind of plug into the team, even though I've been working with them for a long time, kind of from the outside of their organization. Now I'm in the team. And so that means I'm working on stuff I can't tell you about yet. But at PDC 10, which is coming up in just a couple of weeks, at the end of October, 28th and 29th, we're going to have a coming out party where we're going to tell you about a lot of cool stuff that we're working on. But in the meantime, let's talk about what we're doing today. It's Saturday morning and I'm working. But hey, things are so crazy right now. You just sometimes you got to do what you got to do. So let's talk about this workflow service. Now, if you've been watching Endpoint TV, you've been watching, you saw the Contoso HR example, and you know I talked through this whole thing. This is a process where we have a workflow service that receives a message. It saves it in the database. You know, this activity uses Entity Framework and stuff. And then it does other things like it sends email. So down here in the human screening, I have an activity which will send email and then wait for the human to click and reply. We saw that all last time. If you didn't see it, go back and look at the Contoso HR example. Now, here's the topic of today's program. Today's program is how can you write a unit test that tests this? Okay, now we could argue about, is it an integration test or is it a unit test? Okay, and so just so here's how people think about that. A unit test, ideally, you really don't want to update a database. Right? You don't, because you don't know what condition the database is in. Yeah, you can do things like create a new one when you start the test. But having that external dependency of database is something you probably don't want to do. And then you don't want to send email in a unit test, not really. And so you have to be able to kind of simulate these things, right? You don't want to do the real thing. Now, in an integration test, you would do those things. You would send emails, you would send, you know, update databases and whatever. Now, when it comes to testing WCF and workflow services, we have to compromise a little bit because the way the stack works is no easy way to create these things and pass messages to them without involving all of WCF. So you do have to kind of work with the stack a little bit. And I've created this class called the Workflow Test Helpers, not just one class. It's a whole bunch of classes. It's a library. And Workflow Test Helper will take your workflow service and self-host it for you. And, you know, you can invoke it over NamePipes. So it's really fast and it's all right there. You don't have to spin up anything else to make it work. Now, so if we were going to say, let's test this, how could we do it? So let's take a look at a test. Okay, so here's a test. And we are going to, in this test, say we shouldn't hire somebody who has an education level of none. Okay. Now, so what I've done here is I set up some expected things, a test, an ID that we're going to use, and a response. And then there's this very interesting class here, XAML Injector. Now, what XAML Injector is going to do is it's going to replace one kind of activity with another. So given this input XAML, submit application XAMLX, and it works on workflow services, XAMLX files, or just plain old XAML files, we're going to say replace, anytime you see the notify applicant activity, replace it with mock notify applicant, and so forth. So I have various ones here that I want to replace, and then what we're going to do is host the service in our workflow service test host. Once we've done that, now we will just basically set up the proxy to use NamePipes, pass an application through it, and then what we want to do is begin asserting some things. So the first thing we want to do is wait until the whole process finishes. So what we're going to do is wait for the instance to be deleted from the instance store. Now, Workflow Service Test Host has a memory-based test persistence store. So there's no database involved there. And what will happen is when the workflow completes, whether it aborts or whatever, it's going to be deleted. So what we have to do here is kind of wait for that whole process to complete, and then we can close the host. Now I'm going to uncomment this so you can see what happens when we do this. So then I can just assert that the response we got back from the proxy is what we expected. And then we can do some really cool stuff with the tracking records. So Workflow Test Helper has some helpful things in the tracking records. And so let's run the test, and then we'll come back and look at this part here. So let's go to test here and say run test. Okay, so the test run completed. And let's look at our test run. So we see up here some stuff that happened kind of during the run. We see that the XAML injector did a bunch of replacements. These are outputs from the memory store. And then we see the tracking data. Now look at this tracking data. This is amazing. You get everything that happened in the workflow. In fact, even all the way down to here's the message. We can see the message that flowed back and forth. It's really cool. So you, for every tracking event, we get all kinds of things, including the arguments and their values and variables and their values. See, like, here's variables, right? So it's pretty cool. And then we get all the way down to where the workflow instance was deleted. Now, what I do when I want to run these, write these tests is I sort of run it with the tracking trace in the test results. And then I come back here and I say, all right, well, if I look at a good test run, I say, I really want to see this in the tracking. And so I've commented here what I'm looking for. And then I just say, okay, host, tracking, there's some records that it has. It just stores them in memory. And we want to find an activity state record that's named Auto Screen Education, where the instance state was closed. And then I want to say, okay, well, get that argument education passed, and it should be false. Okay, so that's a way I can peek into the workflow. And if we look at where that one is, let's look at that activity. That's this one right here. And we'll see that it has an argument named education passed. All right, so that's what I'm doing is I'm saying when we get to the auto screen education, because the education level was none, when that activity closes, education passed should be false. And then, you know, I can kind of go through and assert some other things. So if the education didn't pass, then the update no higher activity should be called, and the higher approved activity should be, or argument rather, should be false. And then the last thing I want to make sure is that there was an email sent with a no hire. So I look for the mock notify applicant because it will be replaced. And I look for the hire argument there, and it should be false there as well. So this gives me a way to sort of test, did the control flow in the workflow go the way I expected? And what are the states of variables and arguments when we get to various points? Because, okay, so what if I change this and I came in here and said, I'm going to change that to not, if not education passed, what's going to happen? Well, in that case, then in this test, somebody who has an education level of none will pass through this then branch, which will mean that our workflow won't complete. It'll just kind of go into this next bookmark where it's waiting for the receive activity here. So let's run it and see what happens. And we see that our test failed and the workflow was not deleted from the instance store on completion as expected, because it's not done. It didn't finish. And in fact, if we open this up here, we'll see that we didn't get our activity trace because the assert threw an exception, this assert right here, threw an exception before we did the activity trace here. All right, so now we have a test, and we can tell if somebody messes up a condition or something like that, then we get our system working. So now if we run it again, now we see that it's working. Okay, and we got all of our asserts, and there's all the tracking data. Now, this is just one example that I have here in the Workflow Test Helper project. There's another one that I have that you might find interesting. Okay, so this is a simple test activity that I'm using to test XAML injection. And you can see here I've got some custom activities. There's test activity 1 and test activity 4. And each time I invoke one of these, I store the result into a variable. And at the end, I just sum the variables that I got back from these. And each activity returns the number that's at the end of its name. So this returns 1. So I would have 1, 2, 3, plus 4, plus 4. So that would be 8 plus 3, or 11, would be the sum I get if all of this runs as is. But now I'm testing if XAML injection works, right? So what I did in that case was, here's my test. So you have to set up this deployment item because you have to deploy the XAML. Now, kind of the default thing is that XAML's not deployed. So, you know, deployment item is going to make it deploy. Then I create the XAML injector. And now this time I'm using a little more flexible API that XAML injector has called replace at. So, and previously I used replace all. Just anytime you see this one, replace it with this one. But it could be times, it could be cases where you say, well, I want to replace the second one with one kind of activity and the third one with another kind, right? So that's what this does. So replacing at index 1, which would be the second occurrence, test activity, we're going to replace it with test activity 2. And then at the third occurrence, index 2, we're going to replace test activity 1 with test activity 3. And then we're going to replace all test activity 4s with test activity 5. So now we're going to get a different total. So our total would be 1 plus 2 plus 3 plus 10. So the sum should be 16 if we test this right. So let's run the test. Okay, so we see that our test completed. And we can see the XAML injector replaced the first one, test activity 1 with test activity 2, then test activity 1 with test activity 3, and so forth, right? And then these are outputs from the mock activity, so they're telling which ones were invoked. So you see 1, 2, 3, 5, 5. Now, how did we do this? Well, let's look at how XAML injector works. So here I'm looking at the test results folder, and we got a bunch of test runs here. Let's go to the latest test run, which is right here. And you can see in the output, when Visual Studio runs a test, it creates an out folder where it writes all the stuff that's going on. This is the working directory where your test happens. And you see that we have testinject.xaml, which is the original one. And you can see the date. And then testinject.test.xaml, which is the rewritten XAML, which has the replacements in it. And it's pretty simple. We just have a little XAML loader loop that does all of this work for you. So you can look at the full source, and who knows, some of this stuff might actually end up in more official channels in the future. So I hope you enjoy that. This is my creation of because I believe in testing. What can I say? You should test your workflows. And I hope you do, and I hope this helps you. For Endpoint TV, I'm your host, Ron Jacobs.